How's everybody doing? Welcome back to another episode of The Banker Next Door. I am your host, Dr. Joe Berquist. I've got a little bit of spring fever going on today. I was feeling good, kind of got the short sleeve shirt going on here. So happy to bring everybody a whole bunch of great information here today. Today, for anybody who doesn't know, April is Financial Literacy Month. So definitely want to express my desire for people to get out there and hopefully teach a lot of kids about finances and try to get them a, you know, better understanding about just, you know, basic things, you know, how to have a savings account, how to, you know, save money, just maybe understanding if they're teenagers, maybe try to get them a little bit of information on things like buying a car and car insurance, different types of insurances, just different things you could talk about at different stages of life. But hopefully this would be a great month, being Financial Literacy Month, to get out there and just start talking to all this kind of stuff to all of our younger kids and teenagers out there. Would be fantastic. So before we get started, I just want to mention, so I did post up 5 other episodes yesterday. Let's see, what do we have here? We had What is Pig Butchering? That's a big time new crypto fraud that's basically taking place right now. And that was part 8 of the crypto series, which I've kept going. So if you're curious about what that is, go check that episode out. I talked about I did another episode where I talked about the OCC and the FDIC are making policy changes to what's called the Bank Merger Act in an effort to try to help M&A. But the question is, are the changes that they're intending on making, or is that really going to help the M&A process at the end of the day? So go check out that episode. I did an episode that was kind of near and dear to my heart, and that was, do the clothes make the man? And I really wanted to talk about, you know, what it means for a guy to dress appropriately and to dress the right way for different occasions, both you know, in the workplace, you know, perhaps when they're out networking. And I wanted to talk a lot about how things have changed in the decades that I've been in the banking business, and how, you know, at the very beginning, you know, everything was all kind of buttoned up, dressing real sharply every single day. And now we've kind of entered this business casual world. And, but what does that mean? Does it still mean that, you know, you don't need to dress nice anymore, or you don't need to dress fancy anymore, and that kind of thing? So like I said, I'm hoping that would be a really interesting episode that would really kind of pique some people's interest. So definitely go check that out and leave some comments. I'm very interested to hear people's take on that. Then I did another episode on the bank merger between Provident Bank and Lakeland Bank, which are a couple banks over in New Jersey. So their M&A deal got approved after it was sitting out there for over 500 days. But there were some very unusual conditions as part of that approval. Yeah, and the question becomes, like, did those unusual conditions kind of become the norm in M&A transactions? So go check that video out if you want some more detail with that. And then I did the ICBA. They released their advocacy update for the second quarter. So I did basically a second quarter regulatory update there, talking about all of the kind of regulatory, you know, kind of the hot button regulatory issues that are going on out there in the banking industry right now. So if you're looking for a regulatory update, you know, go check out that episode, and you can basically bring you up to speed real quick on everything that's kind of going on regulatory wise in the banking business. So with that being said, let's run up some economic indicators that are coming up next week. This is what's coming up this week. So on Tuesday, the 23rd, we got the 2-year Treasury note auction. On Wednesday, the 24th, we have the 5-year Treasury note auction. On Thursday, we get GDP quarter over quarter numbers, continuing jobless claims. We get initial jobless claims. We got pending home sales, and that's all coming up on Thursday. And then on Friday, we get core PCE price index, the Fed's favorite inflation index. So we'll see what that brings us. Then we get the personal spending month over month. And then we wrap the week up with basically the Michigan consumer sentiment. So all those coming out on Friday. So a lot of good economic things coming out on Friday. And I'm also going to do an episode. I don't know if I'm going to get to it today, but if I do, it'll be up, and that will be, I'm going to talk about treasuries. And I'm just going to talk about the treasuries market, the sale of treasuries, what's going on there. Yeah, the government is having a very difficult time selling treasuries right now. And you might have noticed that the yield on treasuries, whether it be 3-6, the two-year, 5-year, the 10-year, all those treasury yields have been going up. And the problem is you've got this imbalance between risk and reward right now. And Japan and China don't want to buy our treasuries at the moment. So the treasury and basically the Fed, different people have been stepping in right now to basically buy those treasuries to keep our treasury market going. But just the sheer amount of debt that our government is issuing right now is just staggering. And I've got some really good articles to share in that, to go over that one, because that's a really crucial problem that this country has right now. It's in terms of our national debt. And I mean, every 90 days, we're racking up another $1 trillion in debt. Every 100 days, every 100 days. So it's just a little over every 3 months. So almost on a quarterly basis, we're racking up $1 trillion in debt. I mean, it's just absolutely staggering what is happening right now. Okay, so that's what we got coming up this week. Okay, so let's get into some of the headlines and things that are out there right now. So let's see here. PNC Financial Services shared concerns and called for a revision of the Office of the Comptroller of Currency's policy statement on bank mergers as PNC Chairman, President, and CEO William Demchak, in a letter to the OCC, expressed the company's belief that the policy will hasten the unhealthy consolidation at the very top of the banking industry with the unchecked growth of big banking organizations. Kind of the episode that I just did on what I just mentioned, the OCC and the FDIC making policy changes, that's what that's about. So like I said, again, go check that episode out. So banks, including Barclays, Lloyd's Banking Group, and Citigroup, along with payment processors, MasterCard and Visa, are part of the recent phase of a pilot of an experimental shared ledger to track banking payments conducted by the industry group UK Finance, Bloomberg News reported, citing a company statement. Again, in preparation of a central bank digital currency, these guys are all jumping in, making sure that their blockchains and their ledger systems are all in place and ready for this rollout. I'll be talking more about that in other episodes. So significant modifications to the Basel III endgame proposal would give Goldman Sachs material more flexibility to deploy its capital, said Goldman's CFO Dennis Coleman on April 15th on a call to discussing the bank's first quarter earnings. If changes to capital requirements were less stringent, Goldman would be able to deploy the capital to support its clients' activities, issue dividends, and manage its return on capital. So interesting there. We'll have to keep an eye on that. So a bipartisan U.S. congressional probe found that Wall Street firms, including the world's biggest asset manager, BlackRock, and stock indexes compiler MSCI Inc., used billions of dollars of American retirement savings and other investments to buy shares in index funds that included over five dozen Chinese companies, which were blacklisted by the U.S. government for allegedly bolstering China's military and violating human rights, the Wall Street Journal reports. The House committee that conducted the probe urged U.S. lawmakers to restrict such capital flows as the U.S.-China relations intensifies, according to the report. This is a problem. I mean, I've kind of been somewhat critical of, State Street, Vanguard, BlackRock. I'm not shy in saying that I think all three of these companies have gotten way too big and most likely need to be all broken up. These companies just wield way too much power and just in a very real way do whatever they want. And that's not a good thing. And you see it with abuses like this and things going on that just is not good. So, all right, continuing on, KeyCorp's new specialty finance partnership with a unit of Blackstone could set the stage for similar arrangements in the future. We will continue to evaluate the potential for arrangements with other leading providers like this one, Chairman, President, and CEO Christopher Gorman said during the company's first quarter earnings call. Discover Financial Services increased its card misclassification reserve by $799 million as it attempts to remedy the issue and close its approximately $35 billion merger with Capital One Financial Corp, according to executives. The reserve build largely drove a 67% year-over-year increase in expenses, which was $926 million in the first quarter. I think Discover Card is trying to get this merger done. If you didn't see the episode that I did on this potential merger, go back and take a look at that. Discover Card has definitely run into considerable obstacles, I'll say, in trying to get this merger done. And they're trying to adjust here. I still don't know if this is going to get them across the finish line, but we'll see. I'll report back on that as we get more information. So buildings in lease transition to new tenants were part of the reason Bank United reported an increase in criticized and classified office loans, COO Thomas Cornish said during the first quarter earnings call. Interesting. So I'll have a lot more news in just a second on earnings updates and criticized assets, bank loans, what's going on with some of the bigger banks around the country that reported. So stay tuned. I'll have more information on that in just a minute here. So as Americans paid income tax bills out of their bank accounts, U.S. banks' total reserves dropped $286 billion in the week through April 17th to $3.33 trillion from $3.62 trillion the previous week, marking the biggest decline since the April 2022 tax deadline, Bloomberg News reported, citing Federal Reserve data. Policymakers still find such reserves abundant, though they are aiming for ample, the report said. Something to keep an eye on there. Fulton Financial Corp's credit quality further normalized during the first quarter. U.S. Bank Corp reported a roughly 20% stake in non-performing assets quarter over quarter, which it attributed to continued stress in its commercial real estate office portfolio, along with another idiosyncratic commercial loan. Interesting. China-based cryptocurrency exchange Binance said that it would transfer 100% of the assets in the Secure Asset Fund for Users, or the SAFU, into USDC, the stablecoin issued by U.S.-based Circle Internet Finance LLC, Bloomberg News reported, citing a statement from Binance. Attorney General Rod Rigetta is leading a multi-state inquiry against Webull Financial LLC over its ties to China. 14 state attorney generals and courting Rokita sent Webull Financial CEO Anthony Denier a letter expressing concerns over the company's commitment and ability to protect its U.S. customers' sensitive personal and financial data from exposure to the Chinese Communist Party. Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corp intends to buy certain single-family closed-end second mortgages on properties for which it already holds the first mortgage as part of its new product proposal announced by the Federal Housing Finance Agency. The proposed activity is intended to provide homeowners with a cost-effective alternative for accessing the equity in their homes. Interesting. So I'll just say it this way. I find the timing of that very interesting. So we'll see here. Attorney General from 15 states accused Bank of America Corp of discriminating against people for their political and religious views. In a joint letter addressed to Bank of America Chairman and CEO Brian Moynihan, the attorney generals of, again, 15 states said that Bank of America has a history of politicizing its services and has a pattern of viewpoint-based debunking. The states gave Bank of America 30 days to respond to the request, including a written report on its account cancellation policies. So, yeah, more to come on that. After selling some of his shares in the bank for the first time for a nice $150 million in February, J.P. Morgan Chase and company CEO Jamie Dimon sold another $33 million more of his bank shares, Reuters reports, citing an April 15th regulatory filing. So Jamie's making some bucks there, cashing out. PNC Financial Services Group Inc.'s 9% increase in non-performing loans was driven largely by commercial real estate, a source of bank's credit quality concern in recent years, particularly in office amid weak demand and work-from-home trends. Some $188 million of PNC's overall $200 million non-performing loan increase was in commercial real estate, including $150 million in office. So PNC Financial Services Group Chairman and CEO reiterated concerns that a new M&A policy statement, we already heard about that, Bank M&T Bank Corp. CFO Daryl Bibble said on the company's first quarter earnings call that a new liquidity proposal from U.S. bank regulators is coming out in the next quarter or so, and M&T Bank is keeping its conservative posture with its cash as a percentage of assets increasing by about 150 basis points. So that's very interesting that he heard that a new M&A policy is coming out. That a new liquidity proposal from U.S. bank regulators is coming out. So, you know, he obviously knows something the rest of us don't. So we'll see what fruit that bears. FB Financial Corp is hoping to return to the M&A scene with a bank that has a strong retail deposit base. The bank is open to deals in smart markets or metropolitan areas. While Citigroup completes its massive reorganization that removes about 7,000 jobs across the company, other major U.S. banks are also slashing headcounts due to uncertain economic outlook. Reuters reported Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and PNC Financial reduced headcounts by about 2,000 overall in the first quarter, according to the report. Senators Elizabeth Warren and Richard Blumenthal are questioning the OCC's process of approving the merger of New York Community Bank and Flagstar Bancorp in late 2022. Bloomberg News reported, citing a letter the lawmakers sent to the OCC, Warren and Blumenthal said this and the combined entity's takeover of failed Signature Bank in early 2023 contributed to New York Community's troubles this year, according to the report. Yes, no doubt, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see what comes of that. So Morgan Stanley sees no need to make any major strategic changes to its wealth management business, despite recent regulatory pressure. So on the earnings call, the investment bank has been under scrutiny by the SEC, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and other Treasury Department offices over its wealth management unit's anti-money laundering controls related to prospective clients. Okay, a $21.8 billion Arkansas teacher retirement system plans to divest investments from a list of money managers that it found discriminating against companies for environmental, social, and governmental factors, pensions, and investments reported. The state's list includes Goldman Sachs Group, Royal Bank of Canada, and Toronto Dominion Bank, according to the report. Now, this is a trend that we have been seeing. Texas just pulled a huge chunk of money from BlackRock. Other states around the United States that are threatening to pull money due to environmental, social, and government factors and other things that are being pushed by BlackRock and some of these other large investment funds. So we will see if that trend does in fact continue. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau issued a procedural rule to update how the agency designates a non-bank for supervision. The updates will streamline the designation proceedings for both the CFPB and non-banks. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has blocked third-party messaging apps and text from employees' work mobile phones, Bloomberg News reported. The move comes amid an industry-wide crackdown on companies' use of unauthorized messaging channels for business purposes. So in other words, what is that all about? That's all about on Wall Street, traders, you know, during the day, they're sitting at their desk and stuff like that. They're supposed to be using their messaging services on their Bloomberg terminal, and they're not. They're communicating, texting back and forth through private emails or private cell phones. And that's not what they're supposed to be doing, because then the question becomes, well, what is it that they're discussing? What is it that they're talking about? The idea with the using all the communication devices through the Bloomberg terminal is that there is a trackable record there that basically everybody can track. You know, what are these traders talking about? How are they doing it? So if they are doing anything unethical or illegal, basically it would eventually be found or would eventually come out. So, So New Civil Liberties Alliance sued the U.S. SEC over the agency's so-called consolidated audit trail, saying it is unconstitutional. The conservative group said the consolidated audit trail is the largest government-mandated mass collection of personal financial data in American history. Very interesting. Let's see here. What else we got? The Federal Reserve approved Provident Financial Services Inc. acquisition of Lakeland Bancorp without attaching unusual conditions like those the FDIC imposed earlier this week. In March, the FDIC gave the combination a green light, but required that the combined entity stay below specific commercial real estate concentration ratios, originate more mortgages, and retain more capital. Again, go see the episode I just did on that. Some regional banks, including Fifth Third, U.S. Bancorp, Citizens Financial Group, BOK Financial, Truist are ramping up lending to oil, gas, and coal clients as bigger European rivals pull back amid stricter climate regulations across the Atlantic, Bloomberg News reporting. Wells Fargo and Company will continue to prioritize regulatory compliance efforts after regulators lifted a consent order earlier this year as regulatory pressure on the bank remains high. BlackRock's continued investment in AI would drive more efficiencies, more productivity, and ultimately higher wages as the company does more with fewer people. The key word there, fewer people. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. So, all right, let's see. This is kind of interesting. Enforcement actions against banks partnering with financial technology firms accounted for 35% of publicized enforcement measures from the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, and the OCC in the first quarter, up from 26% in the previous quarter and 10% a year ago, American Banker reported, citing consultancy Claros Group. Regulatory scrutiny of bank partnerships with fintechs has heightened in recent months, the news outlet noted. So, kind of interesting. All right, let's get into some quick economic data here. So from last week, so existing home sales retreat in March. So existing home sales declined 4.3% in March, the most significant monthly drop since March of 2023, and were down 3.7% compared to the previous year, according to the National Association of Realtors. The median sales price did rise, though, 4.8% from March of 2023, marking the ninth consecutive month of year-over-year price gains. However, it is troubling that existing home sales are down, especially now. This is the you're heading into the peak of the spring selling season, so that's not great. Economic activity shows modest improvement, as per the Beige Book. House Financial Services Committee passes resolutions nullifying climate disclosure and credit card late fee rules. So the House Financial Services Committee advanced two Congressional Review Act resolutions to the full House for consideration. So keep an eye on that. Let's see what else we got here. Building permits, housing starts drop in March. So building permits decreased 4.3% in March, but were up 1.5% from a year ago. Housing starts fell 14.7% from February, but were down 4.3% year over year. The Commerce Department reported housing completions also declined by 13.5% month to month and dropped 3.9% from last March. So again, kind of some troubling data there. Again, 1 month does not a pattern make, but some troubling data there that we're heading into the spring selling season. And yet, you know, building permits are going down, housing starts are going down, house completions are going down, existing home sales are going down. Again, not the right trend you want to see, this particularly this time of year. March industrial production rises. Industrial production rose by 0.4% in March, with manufacturing output up by 0.5%, notably supported by a 3.1% increase in motor vehicles and parts, the Federal Reserve reported. Other manufacturing sectors saw a 0.3% rise. So we go on with that. Fannie Mae clarifies treatment of realtor commissions and selling guideline updates. So following a proposed settlement agreement by the National Association of Realtors, Fannie Mae said it will not make immediate changes to its selling guideline policies, but will continue to monitor these cases and evaluate potential implications to the industry and its policies. So now we got more real estate related data. So builder sentiment holds steady in April. So the National Association of Home Builders Index of Builder Confidence in the market for new single family homes remained at 51 in April, holding steady above the break-even point for the second consecutive month. The PPI rose, manufacturing and trade sales rose. Global Securities Group planning next steps on crypto rules. The International Organization of Securities Commissions said it plans building on its proposal for crypto markets and decentralized finance in the coming year. And then finally, we have consumer sentiment declines in early April. So consumer sentiment declined 1.9% in early April from the previous month, but remained up 22.3% from a year ago, according to the preliminary release of this month's University of Michigan Index. The index indicates consumers have perceived little change in the state of the economy since the start of the year. So, yes, I believe that is true. So, interesting thing there. Okay, let's get to some, just a few headlines here, and then we'll kind of wrap up what we got here for today. We got a few more minutes. So, two Philadelphia area banks look to rectify poor CRA examinations. So, basically, Penn Community Bank and Park Bank. Got need to improve on their CRA exams. Customers Bank Corp ousted their CFO for alleged violations of company policy. Interesting, spicy. Millionaire moves. The number of $1 million earners is skyrocketing in certain states across the country. Like for Louisiana, for example, saw the largest percentage growth in million dollar earners, 83% year over year, followed by Montana, 73%, and Vermont at 63%. On the other end of the spectrum, Connecticut and Florida, each at 35%, posted the weakest growth in million-dollar earners, albeit both percentages would have ranked near the top for growth between 2019 and 2020, further illustrating the effects of the pandemic and the rallying stock market. So interesting there. Realtor commission settlement faces objections amid industry shockwaves. So we got to continue to keep an eye on the realtor commission settlements. I thought this article was interesting. So this is taxes. Yeah, basically, property taxes for Philadelphia homeowners are surging, but the worst may lie ahead. Now, I just thought that this was a good example of what is probably happening around the country. In other words, you have commercial office markets taking a hit. Cities are not earning as much money from those commercial real estate property taxes as they have perhaps for the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. And so basically what's going to happen is homeowners are going to have to pick up the slack there for whatever's not being made on the commercial end of, you know, collecting those real estate taxes. So just something to keep an eye on, something to keep note of. So FNB reports rise in criticized office loans, improvements in delinquency. So U.S. Bank Corp. reports rise in non-performing assets from commercial real estate. They reported a roughly 20% spike in non-performing assets quarter over quarter, which it attributed to continued stress in commercial real estate office portfolio. So continued stress coming. Office loan losses exactly as expected as Citizens Financial. So they're keeping their Citizens kind of keeping their stuff in I guess, in their boundaries. Senators question watchdog oversight of New York Community Bank. That's what I had mentioned a few minutes ago. High expectations hurt big bank stocks despite first quarter 2024 beats. Earning beats, some better guidance on net interest income and strength in investment banking failed to impress investors after a strong run in big bank stocks. So, got that. Let's see, keep going here. What else we got? Online shopping fuels surge in March U.S. retail sales. So retail and food service sales rose 0.7% over February totals, according to the U.S. Census Bureau data released on April 15th. This exceeds the more subdued increase of 0.4% economists had anticipated for the month. Yeah, well, again, it's inflation. As inflation goes up, you know, people are basically spending more money to buy less, but they got to, you know, continue to spend that money. American Express post earnings beat, affirms 2024 growth projections. IMF credits strong U.S. economy, but cites financial risks of rising debt. And then what else? Bank of America confident that return to deposit growth has momentum. Anything else here? All right. Well, I think that's probably good. We'll probably end up wrap up with that. Like I said, working on a couple other episodes. I do apologize. I did not have the weekly Lords of Easy Money episode this week. I'm still working on polishing off a couple things there. So I will most likely come back next week with the next two chapters, chapters 9 and 10 of the Lords of Easy Money. So I know a lot of people are really enjoying that series, but people are downloading those episodes like crazy, which is fantastic. So I will be, you know, keep us back on track and get us back with a couple of those episodes next week. A couple other episodes I'm working on is the Gao just released findings on the Federal Home Loan Bank and their response to the 2023 banking crisis in the spring of last year. So I'm going to report on that. Treasury sales, I'm going to do an episode on that. I'm going to talk about the March jobs report. And then basically, I'm going to give an update on kind of bank deposits and kind of the status of bank branches, like what's going on in the deposit world right now in banking. So I'm going to do an episode on that. So a lot of stuff happening, a lot of stuff coming up, and I've got a lot of interviews slated. If anybody did not get a chance to see my interview with Greg Smith, the curriculum director from Stony Air last week, please go check that out. It was a really good interview. If you're not familiar with Stony Air, don't know what it is, perhaps the best banking school in the country. So, but definitely go check that out when you have a minute. And I hope everybody has a wonderful week. And I will be back next weekend with more great stuff. And so everybody have an excellent week. And I'll be back to see everybody again real soon. Thanks a lot. Oh, and please make sure like, share, and subscribe. And make sure to check us out on YouTube, Rumble, and all major podcast platforms. Thanks a lot.